Why do you want us to pee?
Do it, son.
But why? Just pee in the municipal boating pond. Why?
Because we tell you to.
Come on.
For me, I'm an old soldier. All right. Just here.
Right. Just there.
Bingo!
The bomb's away.
Come on, let's go.
Out of it.
Up Against It, an unfinished screenplay by Joe Orton, adapted for radio by John Fletcher.
The great city lies asleep. What a panorama spreads out beneath us. Streets, office towers, church towers, row upon row of mouldering red brick Victorian terraces, crowding down toward the river, the great thriving docks. Here and there, a milkman, a drunk,
lovely and fair,
the occasional thief.
Stop thief!
But almost everywhere, beneath the stars, people sleep.
Ian McTurk, get your clothes off.
I haven't got any on.
It's a blind serendipity, neither have I. Let go of that sheet.
No! Hey!
Oh.
You can't do this. First thing is an innocent young man's bedroom, our erection pent.
I am the most modern woman in the world. I can do whatever I want.
Oh.
You don't like it when I straddle you and wave my magnificent memories in your face? Ian McTurk, stop beating around the bush and get stuck in.
It's been a hard day.
Now, however, like a giant box of kippers strewn across the eastern sky, dawn starts to fill the city with detail and perspective. Smoke drifts from chimneys. Ships are coming into port, trains leave for other great cities, buses bring the workers to their factories and shops. Amid all the bustle, we focus in on one street, a church at the end of it. Beside the church, a large house standing in an unweeded garden, overgrown laurels and rhododendrons all about. A cat crosses the tiles. We pan down to a little window at the side of the house, looking into the hall. Up to us stares the face of a young, earnest girl.
Oh, you McTurk, I love you. I love you. Ian McTurk, Christopher Lowe, Father Brodie will see you now. He's been wrestling all afternoon with his conscience.
Who won?
You must ask him yourselves. It's not a question a girl like me can put to a priest. Come with me, please.
I am Father Brodie, priest of this parish.
I am Police Superintendent Connie Boone, a firm supporter of law and order.
And I am Terence O'Scully and Lord Mayor of this town. I hold fanatical views on drugs, promiscuity and bubble cars.
We are here to judge you.
The defendants may be seated.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Not in that chair. It has a broken leg.
Haven't you sent for a doctor?
The doctors can do nothing for it. It's incurable.
Well, what about faith healing?
I've no faith in faith healing. To the matter. If this great town in which we were born stands for anything, it stands for the sanctity of womankind.
Yeah, yeah.
Robbie.
Ian McTurk.
Yes.
At 4 a.m. this morning, my niece, Miss Rowena Torrance, was seen entering your room in an advanced state of nudity. What is your excuse?
She's come to borrow a cup of sugar.
The girl's on a diet.
I refuse to give in to her demands.
Was she provocative?
Nobody is provocative at 4 o'clock in the morning.
That isn't true. I saw the incident with my own eyes. Do you confirm that, Police Superintendent?
Indeed I do, Father. I handed you the binoculars myself.
And you left the blinds up as well, McTurk. The last indulgence of a centralist. We're forced to sit there watching your sordid and often dangerous athletic proceedings.
We now pass on to the much more serious case of Christopher Lowe.
Why is my case serious?
Quite shocking.
blasphemous in the extreme.
I've already stressed the enormous sanctity with which we hold women in our city. Mm. Art galleries and public places are filled with statues exalting their noble forms. Little else is celebrated in our national media. And yet, what did you do, Christopher Lowe?
Lowe, indeed.
I don't know. What did I do?
Last night, were you not seen in the company of various disreputable and drunken old soldiers from previous wars?
Common riffraff, such as beg on our streets.
They seem very nice to me.
And with much furtiveness and falling about, make your way towards that most holy, that most sacred site in our city, the municipal boating pond.
I was there, yeah?
You admit you were there? Hard by, where the statue of our grand lady of Municipia stands, her waters trickling down to mingle in the sacred waters of our municipal boating pond, and there you
had reason to disadjust your dress and then micturate fully and with gross splashing upon the waters of Our Lady.
You what?
You pissed in the pond, you filthy pervert! Pissed in the municipal boating pond?
Hang on, say that again.
What? Municipal boating pond?
You were there last night, weren't you?
What are you talking about?
You were disguised as the leader of the old soldiers. You were urging me to pee in the pond.
What are you talking about? This is an outrageous accusation.
Hear, hear.
The very thought I, Terence O'Scully and Mayor...
Hurry up, Father. These are mere diversions. Mm. Sentence these incorrigible youths to the punishment they so richly deserve.
Hear, hear. Ian McTurk, Christopher Lowe, step forward.
Oh, Father Brodie, they're all young and innocent. Have mercy!
Miss Patricia Drumgool, mercy has no place in our church. Return to your place.
Sorry, Father.
I, Ian McTurk, have something to say before you pass judgment.
Keep quiet.
It is that despite the complete artifice of Miss Rowena's character and the hairy and unwashed nature of her armpit...
This is outrageous! The very idea that the fragrant and gorgeous Rowena does not wash constantly under her armpit...
I believe she had them hermetically sealed at birth.
Nevertheless, whole parts of my being and consciousness have been ripped apart by carnal knowledge of her. I'd always been a virgin before. And I now find myself tragically and catastrophically in love with the said Miss Rowena Torrance.
This is terrible.
Outrageous! Sentence him to the worst possible fate.
I most certainly will. Ian McTurk, Christopher Lowe, it's the judgment of this entirely representative cross-section of your fellow citizens that, for your violation of the virginity of the world's most advanced woman, and your willful deflowering and desecration of the waters of the goddess of Municipia, you be taken from this place to the great town square, and there tomorrow morning be led forth and before the eyes of all the populace be expelled from the town where you were born. Miss Patricia, escort these young men from our presence.
Father.
Well, that seemed to go well enough.
Indeed.
Anyone for a drop of holy water?
Don't you never ask that.
Oh, make mine a double.
It possesses the most miraculous restorative powers. Cheers.
Yes. That delightful young girl you have working for you, Father, Miss Patricia Drumgool.
Yes?
Where'd you get it?
She's a sweet young thing.
I employed her in my church for a number of years as a statue of the Virgin Mary. But, unfortunately, her natural luminosity and radiance resulted in far too many conversions. My eyes became silted up with Irishmen, cripples, and other credulous members of the lower orders crawling about on all fours. In the end, I was forced to take her on as my housekeeper.
Ian McTurk, I shall miss our evening walks together through the park, past the municipal flower beds and the lovely floral clock to the public library.
So shall I.
The evening sun playing across the town hall in a simple statuary. Who shall I get to carry my books now?
What sticks in my gullet is I'm totally innocent.
Christopher, innocent men meet their fates like Spartans, heads held high.
What's that mean?
Don't let them get to you. Miss Patricia Drumgool.
Mr. Ian McTurk.
I realize this is a cruel thing to ask, but would you take a message to Miss Rowena?
Father Brodie would be dreadfully upset if he knew I'd betrayed his trust.
If you'd ask her to meet me here in this garden.
There was a time when I thought you loved me, Ian McTurk. You brought me flowers and boxes of inexpensive chocolates. Now all you can think of is the lovely Rowena Torrance. The sun has set. The cold wind is blowing.
Will you?
I'll tell her you're in the garden. Go and hide in those rhododendrons.
Thanks, Patricia. Come on, Christopher.
Oh. Ian McTurk gives a most charming sensation when he kisses. He sets all hearts aflame. I must never allow bitterness to enter my heart. It is a cancer.
These rhododendrons.
They're terrible. If only I'd listened to the blandishments of that dishonest mare in disguise and pissed in the pond, I'd have been home in our bed in time to prevent Miss Torrance stealing both your virginity and your heart. My gullibility has undone us.
You have a kind heart, Christopher.
Are you sure you love this woman whose balcony we now stand beneath?
And the rabbit loves the headlights of a car, speaks 17 languages, recites the Quran backwards, appears on late-night TV arts programs, juggles superlatively, being able to keep 5 balls in the air while holding deep and meaningful conversations with persons all around her. I love her.
Hello? Hello?
There she is now.
Oh, darling. Oh, darling, Rowena. We're down here.
Look, she's juggling them balls.
Yes, what do you want?
We've been ordered to leave this town. Will you come with us?
That's not possible. There are too many balls in the air. Besides, I'm being sent to a nunnery.
A nunnery?
My uncle the mayor says I'll be safe there. All the nuns are women. He checked himself last week.
This is terrible.
You're telling me your balls keep getting me on the edge?
I'll have to go. My uncle's coming.
Rowena, don't leave!
I'm running out of balls. Oh, oh.
There is no pain like the pain of separation. I shall remember this moment forever. She's gone.
Oh, thank God. Let's go.
Dawn is here again. But this time it rises on a huge crowd assembled in the town square, spilling out into adjacent streets and thoroughfares. Over all, standing above the town hall and department stores, her shadow falling massive across the municipal boating pond, arms folded, pork pie hat on, stands the supreme granite-hewn edifice of Our Lady of Municipia. Legs akimbo, from between which trickle out from beneath the ruggedly sculpted folds of her tweed skirt a thin stream of her purest, divinest waters, splashing down over her sensible leather shoes into the sweet, serene waters of the municipal boating pond. All the dignitaries are here. Row upon row of orange men and scarlet-clad Catholic priests, Freemasons, Girl Scouts and Boy Guides, senior police persons, massed ranks of sober teenagers, and members of the Women's Royal Voluntary Service. As the band plays, the Mayor, Father Brodie, and Police Superintendent Connie Boone step up on the catwalk. Then the prisoners are led forth.
Ian McTurk, Christopher Lowe.
Yes, dear.
To show we're not entirely without human feeling, before you set off in your life of exile and wandering, I here present you with a copy of the scriptures. I've marked the relevant passages on charity, brotherly love, and the consuming of unlawful meats. Take them to your hearts, and you will remain poverty-racked, but blameless throughout your lives.
Thank you, Father. Before I leave the town where I was born, I must confess it was me who dropped the air lacquer in your font. I couldn't go without making a clean breast.
Don't mention breasts in front of me. As a celibate, such things must be behind me.
Ian McTurk, Christopher Lowe, this is the city boundary. The second you step over this line, you are in the world beyond.
Oh, cruel face.
Come on, Chris, remember them Spartans. Let's step over the line together.
All right.
1, 2, 3, and...
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
And so, 2 of our 3 heroes step over the line, and almost immediately find themselves crossing a vast and waterless desert, sand dunes all about, with only a great forest on a distant ridge promising relief from the desolation around. On and on they trek.
Hang on. Isn't that Nelson Eddy singing selected extracts from that rattling good old musical, The Desert Song?
I think it is.
I wonder why he's singing them right out here in the middle of the desert.
Perhaps he's in his bath.
I think we should split up.
Why?
So we can join up again when we reach the forest. Besides, I want to be alone. I'll meet your third branch from the right.
Right. Bye-bye, then.
On and on he treks, till by evening he reaches the forest. Soon he is irredeemably lost. He comes across a man in a white pith helmet and faded hunting gear, standing over the remains of a picnic.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
I'm lost.
What?
I said I'm lost.
Yeah.
Ow! She cut me across the face with a riding whip.
Did I? I'm as frightfully sorry. I'm not that sort of chap at all.
Oh.
Steadily against my nature.
Well, that's all right, then.
What are you doing here? This is my own private hunting reserve. I hunt anything on more than one leg.
I'm lost. How do I get out of this forest?
Oh. You can come with me. I'm not only a millionaire and engaged to be married, but I'm incredibly generous. You pick up all this food for me and put it in this bag.
All right. Cheese, pickles, asparagus, tongues, decanters, and silver coffee pots.
Yeah, that's how I make money. Exotic foods for rich but incredibly stupid people. Woodcock entrails on toast, jelly lampreys in salad. Let's go.
Right. Excuse me.
Yeah?
Why do you have such disgusting teeth? If you're so rich, surely you can afford a toothbrush.
I have bad teeth, because if you're rich, it doesn't matter whether you disgust people or not. In fact, I'll go as far as to say that the poor prefer the rich to be disgusting. And what sort of things do you eat?
Baked beans, cornflakes. If I'm feeling really wealthy, Spam out of a tin.
You don't.
I do.
How extraordinary. Oh. If you do it, millions of other lower-class people must do it. It should be worth investing in.
Where are we going?
My stately hig, Murray Box Mansion. Here we are.
A broken-down mansion with crumbling gates and broken windows meets their gaze. The roof is falling in and the masonry riven with cracks. But the whole edifice gives off an air of incredible wealth.
Why don't you come in and meet the wife?
You're married, but you just said you were engaged.
No one likes to keep one's options open. Hey, come in and give me more of your incredible investment tips.
I am indeed tired and weary, but it is imperative that I regain contact with my lost companion before I come in. See you later.
Bloody-o! Toodle-pip!
I thought you said third branch from the right.
I definitely said the second.
I've met this rich but very nice person who's invited us to stay at his nearby mansion.
I'm in love, still.
Oh.
My bowels swim in a liquid lake of raw emotion. My organs strain, my head swims with strange, alien, but delightful thoughts.
You're not coming, then?
I can sense her around here. Somewhere I know, Rowena Torrance is about. Farewell.
What the hell do you want?
We met earlier, you know. In the woods. Remember, investment tips.
Oh, of course. Come in at once. Excuse the fact I'm only half-dressed, but we have guests. I followed your ideas. Invested vastly in tin things and plastic things and industrial food and wine things. Already oil refineries and chemical plants all over the country are pouring my products into the gaping mouths of a grateful public.
Who's this?
Yeah, my wife, the Prime Minister, Miss Lily Corbett.
Bernard,
Why are you talking to strange young men while not wearing any trousers?
I've just been involved in drastic manoeuvres on the floor of the stock exchange. This young man tells me he wishes to stir.
That's right. I'm tired and I'm weary and I haven't eaten for several days.
Your private life is no concern of mine. Bernard, go upstairs and get the rest of your clothes off. We have guests. Meanwhile, young man, come through to the conservatory and meet one of my guests.
You're the Prime Minister, then?
That's right. I held a general election only last night and re-elected myself. Ah, here we are. Connie, I'd like you to meet a young man.
You?
Yes. The two of us have already met, Lily. He's just excited at the prospect of meeting you all over again. Aren't you, you naughty little thing?
Good. I'm just popping upstairs to powder my nose, appoint a new cabinet, and slip into one of my superb floral frocks.
Oh, you, it's Superintendent Connie Boone, the world's most brutal woman.
Come here. You don't think I'm like that when I'm off duty, do you? You pretty little thing.
Get your hands off me!
You have such an appealing little bottom. Oh. It talks as it talks. I'll arrange a double bed for tonight. Oh. We'll be working late.
But you just found me guilty of the most terrible crimes that expelled me from the community where I was born.
If powerful people like me can't abuse the people in private life that we've been abusing in public life, then the world's coming to a pretty pass.
Dawn. Again. A rose garden. Further off, a rose arbor. Ian McTurk, travel-stained and woebegone, enters the garden. The silvery mists of early morning hang on the distant trees.
Rowena. Rowena, where are you?
Suddenly, at the end of the arbor, Rowena Torrance is seen, wearing a filmy negligee.
Rowena. Rowena!
McTurk runs towards her across the silent, dew-drenched garden. They meet.
Oh!
He embraces her.
Oh, oh, oh.
Rose petals, each one touched with a pearl of dew, fall slowly upon them.
What are you doing?
I'm embracing you. Oh, with all my arms and legs and soul. Oh, I'm trying to create one body from two.
I'd rather you didn't. I'm on my way to a nunnery where I'll regain my virginity, become an international balloonist, join the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and marry Sir Bernard Coates.
What? You're marrying another?
One glance at his bank balance and I fell irredeemably in love with him. He owns everything.
He certainly owns you.
No one owns me.
I hear he's already married to the Prime Minister.
Stop bringing politics into it.
It's like a dagger through my bowels. I'll never trust woman again.
The time I was going, there's a game of tennis.
What? You and him, you're going to play tennis?
Of course not. We're far too rich for that. We employ servants to do it.
And what about sex?
We're definitely going to employ them to do that.
Why don't you come into my room?
Christopher. Because I don't think I'll ever get out again.
Come in!
Oh.
There. Doesn't it look gorgeous?
It looks ghastly.
All my favourite colours. Lipstick blue, cradle pink, sickly emerald green. All designed to put silly little things like you at your ease.
I want to get out of here.
No, fast, sonny. I have to put the handcuffs on you. By the way, do you have any particular preference when it comes to S&M?
What's S&M?
A more exciting version of Marks and Spencer's with less sensible underwear.
Oh,
what a couple we'll make. Just think, while I police and persecute the populace, you can nip out, purchase a few frou-frous, get a peroxide bouffant hairstyle, and develop a long-term relationship with your fingernails.
Oh, hold me, Mommy.
That's exactly what you're going to get. And how. Now get down on that bed and start baying.
Stand by me, love. Love, by me, love. I'll buy you a diamond ring, my friend, if it makes you feel all right. I'll get you anything, my friend, if it makes you feel all right. Cause I don't care too much for money. For money can buy me love. I'll give you all I've got to give.
Next morning sees one of our heroes, Ian McTurk, unkempt in appearance, wounded in heart, but always head held high, marching along one of the great ridgeway tracks that bisect our country, making his unerring way toward our great metropolis, where new adventures await. At one stage, a vast pink Rolls Royce sweeps past, knocking him into the ditch.
No, dog.
But undeterred, he rights himself and continues on his way. Towards midday, he sees a curious settlement on the side of the ridgeway, under a clump of trees. Ragged men of all ages, some in tents, some in lean-tos, gathered around a campfire, each with the look of rebellion in his eyes. They have a leader.
My name is John Ramsey. I'm a leader of a semi-political organisation. I call myself Jack, and I encourage other people to do the same.
What, call themselves Jack?
No. Join the organisation. We're men.
That's right, we're men. Right.
And we're fed up with women.
Yeah.
We want a new exciting world filled with possibilities for all sexes to branch off in the millions of avenues of new human experience without being weighed down by thousands of sound-minded, crabby women obsessed with self-righteousness and power.
Yeah. We're ruled by a tyranny of ladies in flowery dresses.
A bunch of stuffed skirts.
Right on, brothers.
I want to join your organisation.
Why?
A woman has broken my heart.
You're lucky that's the only part of your anatomy she's got at, mate.
We're planning a series of subversive activities to overthrow the matriarchy.
I hate women, but I also love them.
It's a common conundrum. Take a look at this. A pamphlet, secretly printed, passed around from hand to hand, containing spicy gossip about tweed-skirted women in positions of power.
I see. Was this horse really abused in this way?
By 17 cabinet ministers. We're trying to undermine people's confidence in the government by a variety of tactics.
Yeah, right.
The smear, the lie, and in extreme cases, the truth.
Join you. I want to do something honest. I want to do something for the future of humanity.
Congratulations. Yeah. We march on London to rouse a cowed and bovine population. Yeah.
So, this ragged band, this happy few, march off across the downlands of southern England towards their date with destiny.
So this is London, a dark and dreary place.
The people are oppressed, brother. See that seedy tobacconist over there?
Beside that sleazy and interesting-looking strip club.
I say, go over, not three times, our secret headquarters.
Is this the secret headquarters of the secret organisation?
That is. Come in. The secret meeting's upstairs.
Hang on, don't I know you?
I shouldn't think so. I'm a fairly common or garden run-down tobacconist with holes in my cardigan and dirty magazines under my counter.
But you were the mayor of the town where I was born. The person responsible for framing my friend Christopher Lowe and then expelling us both from our native hearth.
My friend, my circumstances have been sadly reduced.
What sort of answer is that? Were you that man?
Indeed I was. But you must understand that like most persons in positions of power, I was engaged in alarmingly illegal activities. My wife found out and denounced me to the authorities.
Wasn't your wife the Prime Minister?
She rapidly became so as a result of revealing my nefarious activities to the nation. She then married several other men almost simultaneously, abandoning me to my cruel fate as a broken-down tobacconist.
But why have you joined this secret political organisation?
Hatred, spleen, a desire to wreak vengeance on she who brought me to this pass.
And why did you get Chris to piss in the pond?
The first blow for liberation, my friend, against the matriarchy. Now go upstairs. The secret meeting awaits you.
Our hero is sworn into the organisation. A life of derring-do follows. Agitation and propaganda, secret meetings in run-down tenements behind seedy billiard halls, posters to be stuck, slogans briefly shouted.
Death to the matriarchy!
Yeah! Officially inflated jockstrap! Yeah!
Eventually, heroically, they managed to organize a public demonstration in the wilder ends of Islington.
Lads, fellow blokes, comrades. Hooray! Welcome to this first ever public meeting against the womanhood. Hooray! At all times, I ask you to keep a vigilant eye out for the brutal and licentious women's police force, who are, of course, trying to suppress our meeting. But first, I'd like to introduce you to a simple, clean-minded lad who has a horrendous tale to tell of abuse and sadistic torture. I'm sure we're all going to enjoy listening to each particular detail of his incredibly gruesome tale.
My God, it's Chris. How did he get here?
Yes, admit it. I stand before you today, a ruined man. Yes. I succumbed to the rubbery lips of the world's most evil woman. Oh. I was the plaything and sex object of Police Superintendent Connie Boone.
Oh,
Hell-raised!
Locked in a boudoir I was, peroxide bouffant hairstyle with only a diamond-studded jock strap and little pink booties to wear. Dressed me as a TV weather boy, she did. And I had to pose in front of her in lime green lycra shorts while she did unspeakable things to herself with an egg whisk and a telephone directory. I'm going to let my hair grow naturally from now on. I'm going to step off this platform back into the crowd and become a man again.
Well, I'd like to thank our brave brother there for plumbing the depths of degradation and depravity for these hoity-toity members
Chris.
Of the ruling...
Ian! Great to see you again.
Oh, welcome to the movement.
Yeah, from now on, I'm going to be one of us.
Hello there. Oh, it's you, Ian. I'd like to introduce you to an acquaintance of mine, Bernard Coates.
Bernard Coates?
Yes, Bernard Coates.
You're the bastard who married my girl, Rowena Torrance, the most advanced woman in the world.
A chap has to do something on Saturday afternoon.
You're an upper-class tit, a capitalist and founder of the First Order. What are you doing at a working-class meeting like this?
Oh, frightfully clever, you lower-class chaps. I talked to Christopher here recently. Now, he tells me all this fascinating stuff about what you lower-class people actually eat. So I get all my plastics factories and awful recycling plants to churn it out. I feel quite ill, actually. I've been eating so much of it myself recently. It's fatally addictive. And hey, presto, within weeks, I'm selling it to everyone and raking in the moolah. Wonderful, disgusting moolah.
But why are you here?
Well, the wonderful eye working-class chaps have for future ideas, movements. And look around us. Revolutionary clothes, revolutionary fashions, revolutionary textbooks. Ah, just the sort of thing to invest in.
But you're a Tory.
Yeah, well, always keep a finger up both camps. That's my motto. Must go. Oh,
yeah?
If there's going to be a revolution, there's one thing one simply must invest in.
What's that?
Prisons. Lots and lots of prisons. Bye.
Ian?
Yes?
Look over there.
Oh, my God.
Rank upon rank of enormous police women.
It was wonderful. Quite wonderful.
Can we get this meeting to order?
There they were, rank upon rank of enormous police women, many of them negresses. They're all rubbing their great black truncheons back and forth in their hands, their enormous thighs bulging as they started to advance upon us. Crunch, crunch, crunch. It was a sight to bring tears to the eyes of a senile tobacconist.
Look, can we bring this revolutionary meeting to order, please?
Everyone else was fleeing, retreating, placards and slogans thrown to the wind, but I started trembling. By some mysterious force, I was drawn towards these magnificent, implacable beasts lumbering towards me. I flung open my arms, crying, "Mummy! Mummy!"
I thought you said you hated women.
I do. I don't. Oh, it's such a complicated thing.
Right. With that emotional spasm over, can we please get our revolutionary meeting underway? First, I'd like to introduce a new recruit. She's a bit of a surprise, actually. She's a woman. Yeah, I carried out a private check before the meeting. Bravely turning her back on years of oppression and joining the party of the underdog, I'd like to introduce Miss Patricia Drumgold.
Drumgold, what are you doing here?
I lost my position as Father Brodie's housekeeper because I'd helped you in your romantic affair with Miss Rowena. But as luck would have it, I was swiftly appointed to the private office of Miss Connie Boone. so I can thus, because of my undying love for you, Ian McTurk, leak to our movement all her deepest secrets and plans.
Oh, which brings me on to my second point. You all saw what happened out there today. The brutality, the carnage.
Yes.
As an organisation, we have asked for change peacefully. That was denied. There only remains one course left. Assassination. Yes, assassination of the Prime Minister herself, Miss Lily Corbett. Oh, tomorrow, at the Royal Albert Hall, she will be addressing the annual meeting of her government.
They'll only allow women into the meeting.
Exactly. But with the help of Miss Drongul here, we have found a perfect way of breaching their defences.
Look at them.
Thousands and thousands of women in floral dresses and extraordinary hats.
Just like us.
And remember, girls, speak in a high-pitched tone like this. All right, okay. Right, we're all looking stunning. Irresistible.
Gorgeous.
So let's go into the Royal Albert Hall.
After you, Cecilia.
No, after you, Nabilia.
Security, I'd like to see your passes.
The great seal opens and must be obeyed.
Don't worry, Chris.
And don't forget to talk like this. Here you are. We're from the nice part of Acton.
Miss Drongul, perhaps you'll check these names in our special filing system.
Of course, Police Superintendent.
I don't see why you're doing this. We are totally respectful ladies.
If my auntie is a spiritual advisor to a baking father company.
And my godmother once made rugby for women.
I'm sorry to cause you inconvenience, but we cannot be too careful with all these ghastly men about.
Oh, no, right.
Is this your first conference?
It is.
You needn't be worried. You'll love all the girls.
I was terrified my clothes would be down.
You look very smart.
My hair. Where'd you get yours done? It's so lovely.
I'm glad you like it. Most people think because a girl's in uniform, she doesn't have to worry about her appearance. Stuff and nonsense, I say. They couldn't be further from the truth. I've been having my hair done at Senora Sally Warren's. She caters almost exclusively for the horse guard. But I'm sure she could fit you in.
Police Superintendent, I've checked these ladies' names in our special file, and there's nothing against them.
Good. Then you're free to go through, ladies, and bon coiffure.
Bye.
Ta-da. And you, you cheeky little thing.
Oh.
Haven't I met you somewhere before?
Me? No, I'm sure you haven't.
Have you got a brother? A little brunette. Rather wistful, but quite good fun.
No!
God, so rubbery lips, her octopus hands. Oh, thank God I got away.
Where do we go?
Upstairs, to our own private box.
As they enter the hall itself, what a sight greets their eyes. Flowers, flowers, flowers! All around the stage, gardenias, gladioli, hollyhocks and geraniums, lilies and narcissi and 1,000 different roses. And then, the dresses. 1,000 different dresses alive with flowers, pansies and primulas and primroses, and hats. Oh, what hats! Hats one could sail to sea in, hats one could play the cup final in, hats one could happily live in forever. And never ask for more.
Women. Women. Women everywhere. And not a frock you'd want to stick your hand off. My God.
McTurk, it's you.
Father Brody, what are you doing here? You must be the only person here wearing trousers.
I know. The shame of it. I was defrocked. It was discovered I was not a homosexual and therefore had no future in the Church of England. For a while I managed to pass myself off as a lesbian, but was then denounced for not having the requisite number of hairs on my chin. What are you doing here?
We must be going.
Yes.
Right. Come along, girls. Our box is over there.
A flurry as the Prime Minister steps onto the platform. Several thousand women sway with excitement. She is simply beautifully dressed. In a cordoned off section sit row upon row of her own private husbandettes, ooing and eyeing with excitement.
That Prime Minister?
Yeah.
How come she's married to so many men?
She likes to keep in close touch with her electorate.
But how did this bunch of befrocked fools manage to take over the country?
Well, apparently,
They came up for the Chelsea Flower Show years ago and decided to stay on. Been ruling the place ever since.
The Prime Minister speaks.
Ladies, ladies and ladies, I am so glad to be here. I'd like to pay the ladies of my cabinet hear about me on the platform an immediate tribute. How they manage to run the country and remain so attractive, I do not know. Thank you. But now I have indeed an important announcement to make. A decision we reached in Cabinet, which I am sure will have far-reaching consequences. Yes, we have decided to have the House of Commons redecorated in Chinese white lacquer with natural oak woodwork.
Who's delivering the rifles so we can shoot the bit?
I don't know, someone's secret in the organisation.
So we just sit here like a pack of twats twiddling our thumbs.
Try to look enthusiastic. Who's that?
Oh,
I've got the rifle.
Good God, Bernard Coates, is there no depth to it? You won't think. You bring the rifle to shoot your own wife.
Well, consider it as a radical form of divorce.
And you're wearing a dress.
I want to go into politics.
But you're a man.
Wearing dresses has never been a bar to men advancing in politics. Besides...
Yes?
I'm officially a woman now.
Really?
Yes. As a result of that food you told me about, I ate so much of it that I developed awful and physically disgusting cancers, which result in my entire insides having to be removed and replaced by those belonging to an unwilling volunteer. Seeing which way the wind was blowing, I decided to go the whole hog and become a woman.
What about sex?
No, sex doesn't enter into it. But in case of emergency, I retain my full masculine ganglia as an optional add-on extra. It's here,
no.
In my pocket.
I hope you don't run into any pickpockets.
Well, their shock would be greater than mine. Anyway, must be going. Tidbit. Gosh.
He's gone. Which leaves us with having a shooter. You're a gullible, easily manipulated bloke, Chris. You do it.
Not that gullible. Keep it here. I'll do it.
And now, the international field. Here before you this afternoon, I shall put a stop to all this intense speculation. I shall attend next week's international summit in a great flowing dress in white broderie anglaise with just heavenly flounces. The price was outrageous.
Oh, goodness. Every woman in the hall gives a shiver of delight. A shimmer of silk, a sway of feathers, a tinkling of 10,000 pearls as the Prime Minister turns... My God, what has happened? The Prime Minister has been shot. She falls to the ground. Blood all over her wonderfully striking yellow and pink floral ensemble, while row upon row of assembled womenfolk faint quite away in hysterics and grieve.
That's it. Let's go. The deed has been done.
Our heroes join fleeing hordes of screaming women who boil forth from the Albert Hall like porridge from a sock. As ambulance men revive the overcome and take away the body of the nation's leader, one woman, arms folded, legs akimbo, stares after them.
I know who you are. I know. You want to play it rough. I'll play it rough.
Yes, we repeat that news. We repeat the news. The Prime Minister has been assassinated.
Read all about it. Read all about it. PM shot in the gardenias. A nation mourns.
And police are searching for three lower-class youths dressed as upper-class women with rifles in their hands.
Told you we should have changed out of these dresses.
The police are everywhere.
Now, Miss Sally, quick.
Whitehall today denied that anarchy was spreading through the nation and gunfire had broken out inside Harrods. Strong new laws are about to be announced to return the nation to stability.
And the news... Heterosexual relations between people of the opposite sex have been banned.
We've got to fight them, man.
Right. We've had enough of these damn women with their damn haircuts telling us what to do.
Matronizing cows.
But all through this terrible crisis, one woman stood firm. One woman alone knew what to do.
And we break off from this account of street fighting in Woking to take you over to Downing Street Live for a special announcement from Police Chief Connie Boone.
My fellow persons, it is with great sorrow that I make this announcement, but the grave situation leaves me no alternative. I know what this nation wants. As from now, I, Connie Boone, am taking supreme control. I'll be available for photographs in 5 minutes.
Read all about it. Read all about it. Gorgeous Connie in Downing Street hairdressing shame.
As members of the firmer, Sex Girls...
Yes.
I sweep it, Connie Girl.
We must be honest. This is a crisis.
You're right.
You certainly are.
Well, in the past, we few girls have allowed democratic trappings and so-called elections and prime ministers to appear to rule us. We've always known that we few, police chiefs, army officers, bosses of big companies and banks, have actually run this country.
Rather.
Oh, sir.
Now our rule is under threat, and we must do something about it. There must never be a time when we women, we few, cannot sit around in tweed skirts with our legs open talking about grouse shooting.
Here, here.
I'll drink to that.
We are, of course, already bringing the full force of our arms to bear against the rebels, but we can move against them another way. Subtly.
Really?
Tell us, old girl.
Intelligence reports tell me one of the ringleaders is a certain Ian McTurk. I happen to know this certain Ian McTurk is helplessly in love with the extraordinary and gifted Rowena Torrance.
Rowena, eh?
What a stunner.
So I've decided to invite her over tonight. Here she is now. Rowena, dear.
Auntie Connie.
How good of you to drop in. What have you been doing recently?
I was windsurfing in a Tibetan monastery. Then I went to Glastonbury to get the spiritual aura on my credit cards realigned. Finally, I engaged in some particularly brutal shopping.
Sit down. Now, you know the other girls, of course.
Naturally.
As you probably heard, dear, we've had a spot of bother since Lily died. Everything north of the Humber is in male hands. Even girl guides and brownies have tales to tell that make hardened matrons blush.
How can I help?
We've discovered the identity of one of their leaders, Ian McTurk.
Him? He tried to print his amorous intents on me once in a rose garden.
Dirty beast.
Castration is the only language they understand.
What we'd like you to do, dear, and we know how awful it is to have anything to do with the opposite sex, but we would like you to use your undoubted feminine charms.
You're a snorter.
An absolute ripper.
To lure this Ian McTurk into our grasp. Once we have their leaders, this rebellion can be flushed down the toilet pan of history.
Keep firing, man!
Right!
Ian! Jack! This note's been delivered. It's addressed to you in a woman's hand.
Hey. Take my place on the barricade.
Okay.
Yeah. Watch out for that sniper and the Chinese takeaway.
What's it say? My darling, please forgive me for the unforgivable things I did to you. I must see you at once. Yours, Rowena.
Who's it from?
Rowena. She still loves me.
It could be a trap.
Well, I must risk that. She asked for my forgiveness. I will meet her immediately.
Across the war-torn city, our lovelorn hero scurries, dodging bullets, avoiding hand-to-hand fighting, until at last he reaches a secret garden. High walls and flower beds, moonlight, Rowena. He runs towards her across the dew-laden grass. He kisses her.
Rowena, oh, Rowena.
He buries his head on the matchless skin of her flawless breast.
McTurk, I love you so. Don't ever leave me again.
That'll be all we need from you, Rowena.
What?
You can go.
Thank you.
You did very well.
But
as for you, McTurk, you're cursed the day you were born.
Things are looking desperate.
Those damn women keep coming, coming and coming.
They've got us surrounded.
But we're fighting to the last man.
Can I be here beside you, fighting too?
A
prison?
A prison such as you've never known.
It's filthy in here.
It gets filthier.
Why? Where are you taking me?
The governor's office. Ah, McTurk. Welcome to my jail for the sexually indeterminate.
It's you, Bernard Coates. You're a man again.
It's that time of the month.
What are you doing here?
I'm the governor. As I told you before, it's always worth investing in prisons when there's a revolution afoot. And as an incredibly liberal person, I'm going to have you shot.
You can't do that.
I can. I have 16 guards outside with carbines at the ready. Why can't I?
Well, because you don't own any shares in the carbine, so you don't stand to make any profit by having me shot.
Oh, my God, you're right. You working-class chaps are so nimble-brained. I'll go out and purchase some and then have you shot. In the meantime, I'll have you thrown back into your filthy cell.
That's what I've come to complain about.
Really?
It's outside the rules to have a filthy cell.
Well, the rules have been changed.
By whom?
Me. I can give you less food. That's allowed.
I'm sure I have the right to appeal.
Oh, that's perfectly true. Under normal circumstances, a prisoner has the right to appeal. Unfortunately, in your case, the authorities have decided to waive that right.
Why?
On the grounds of height.
Height?
Yes. You're too small. I'd really like to help you out, McTurk. I'm an extremely liberal governor, but in this case, the rules are completely inflexible. What up?
Sure.
Take this man back there. And McTurk?
Yes?
Should you have any other requests or complaints, don't hesitate to come and tell me all about them. My door's always shut.
Our hero is alone in his prison cell. There is no bunk. The walls peel. A film of grime covers everything. Rats gnaw behind the masonry. All he has to sleep on is a pile of straw in the corner. Months pass. Years pass. Occasionally the guard remembers to feed him. Our hero, once so boyish and frankly appealing, becomes half-naked, hairy, bestial, half his teeth drop out. He squats with his face in his hands.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. How long have I been incarcerated in this foul dungeon? And all for love of you, Rowena. Hello? Hello? Who's that?
A hole appears in the wall opposite him. Stones are ripped away. Suddenly...
Ian.
A familiar face stares at him.
Jack, I've come to rescue you. Follow me down this tower I've just dug.
Okay. I thought you were killed in the fighting.
So did I. But the doctor asked for a second opinion.
Where does this tunnel lead?
The main sewer.
What's that?
The prison siren. They've obviously discovered your escape.
All right, men. You're all armed. Follow me through this aperture in the masonry and this illegally dug tunnel. Our mission is to apprehend the felons.
Sir?
Now, if enemy moves, shoot it. Understand?
Yes, sir.
At once. Right. Follow me.
Oh, what did you do that for?
You moved, sir.
A shot. They must be after us.
Is this the main sewer?
Yes.
It's colossal. There's more turds in it than the National Theatre on a Saturday night. What do we do?
I'm afraid. Jump! Oh!
Our plucky heroes leap into the boiling excrement, are swept like improbable royalty, heads held defiantly high above the common mass of bubbling turds, far, far underground, until many miles out to sea they suddenly surface on a lonely ocean.
What's happened?
We've been swept far, far out to sea.
But I can't swim.
As luck would have it, however, a luxurious ocean-going yacht is passing, and our ambrosial couple clamber aboard.
Oh, you don't have stink, mate.
Cheers, mate. Hang on.
sailor, aren't you, Christopher Lowe? My lifelong companion.
I am.
What are you doing here?
The story is too long and improbable to relate, but while attempting to avoid having sex with Miss Rowena Torrance, I was tricked into becoming a sailor on board her husband's luxury ocean-going yacht.
You mean Rowena Torrance is aboard?
Yeah.
I'm leaving.
You can't. We're 50 miles south of Rockall, 40 north of the Falklands, 100 east of Pitcairn.
You mean we're all at sea?
Ian, darling.
Rowena, you.
That's right. It's so nice to see you. Colonel Bernard, he'll be so pleased to hear you've escaped from his jail.
But
we're all incredibly liberal on board this yacht.
Well, I have to change my clothes. I've been sleeping in them for years.
What an ecstatically virile attitude you have to life. Would you like a shower?
That would be good.
I'll take it with you.
But you're a woman.
At last, you've noticed.
I'm a man.
Then take one with my husband. Afterwards, you must be a guest at one of the incredibly exclusive dinner parties we hold on board this yacht. We're so liberal.
You know, here am I, entertaining at my table a chap who's not only escaped from one of my high-security prisons, but with whom I've had to take a shower.
Incidentally, what happened to your prison business?
No money in it. Do you know, many prisoners can't even afford to pay for their own imprisonment. I had no more luck in revolutionary paraphernalia or knick-knacks. Oh, but one of your tips paid off in spades.
Which one?
Arms. Armaments. Millions and millions of them. Machine guns, tanks, aircraft.
You sure about this?
Rather. And incidentally, lay off my wife.
Ian MacTurk!
Who is it? Miss Patricia Drumgill. What are you doing about this ocean-going yacht?
It's a long story.
Try and make it relatively short.
As you know, I was sacked from the service of Father Brodie because I loved and spoke up for you. I was then sacked from the employ of Police Superintendent Connie Boone because I loved you and passed her secrets to you. Finally, I found employment as a laundry maid on board this luxury ocean-going yacht where I keep all the linen and clothing scrupulously, indeed, miraculously clean.
Miss Rungul, you smell so clean and pure and wonderfully starchy. I could spend my entire day in your presence just inhaling your luminous purity. But instead, I'm a sorry on deck for a sordid and ultimately unfulfilling tryst with Miss Rowena.
Oh.
We ascend to the poop deck of the yacht. The sails billow in the breeze. Only the sound of the ocean disturbs the tranquil calm of the night. Casually slipping his hand into the pocket of his yachting blazer, our hero strolls with Rowena. They stop beside a lifebelt fixed to the rail. Painted on it is the name of the yacht, the Fairy Wish.
Oh, my darling, you're more beautiful than ever in the moonlight. If only you knew how through the long, lonely nights of my prison cell I've yearned for the touch of your hand. Can I kiss you?
I suppose so.
Your lips are an enigma. Gates I would one day like to break down and burst through into the country beyond. Why did you marry Bernard?
Because he's rich.
How tragic I should be born poor. Meet me secretly in your cabin tomorrow.
But what about Bernard? While being staggeringly liberal, he's also insanely jealous.
I shall find a way.
You heard what happened last night?
What?
Miss Patricia Drumgool threw herself overboard.
No.
She left a tin of biscuits in her cabin. I don't want one.
Why did she do that?
Because of your secret sordid tryst with Miss Rowena.
I see.
Don't you feel guilty?
I have no intention of feeling guilty. I leave that to liberal politicians and clergymen. They get paid for it.
They're holding a memorial service for her on deck at noon.
Really? How convenient.
Come in.
They're holding a memorial service for the woman who threw herself overboard last night for love of me. We shan't be interrupted.
We shouldn't be doing this. Think of my husband.
I don't find his image in the least bit stimulating. I'd rather feel you all over.
Could you get your hand off me?
Oh, you do things inside me, Rowena. Spring, valves gush. Half cocks go off full cock.
I shall ring for a steward.
So you want a threesome? I'll take my shirt off.
What are those scars on your back? Are they the marks of the lash?
No, I've been wearing an oversized string vest. Do you want me totally or absolutely nude?
We cannot go on like this. It's wrong and we should be thoroughly ashamed of ourselves.
I thought you were the most advanced woman in the world.
Well, what's that got to do with it?
I thought you modern birds lived for this kind of thing.
I'm afraid you're quite wrong. Get out of my cabin or I shall call my husband.
Come on, McPack! I know you're in there!
Too late.
He knows we're in here.
Oh, yes, I know you're in there! Bunsen, break down this door.
Very well, sir.
My God! Now I see you.
Please don't hurt us.
My liver and spleen and kidneys are spitting, boiling with hatred, revenge, violence.
Please.
My whole insides are like a chemical. Hang on.
Darling, what's the matter?
You know, it is extraordinary the way you lower class chaps give me these wizard ideas. There was my whole biosystem going into overdrive, sloshing about, hitting the ceiling, when suddenly I think, yes! There's the money. That's where the real money is.
Mr. Kelly.
Oh, McTurk, thank you very much.
Well, that's all right. Anytime you want to hijack one of my ideas, now if I could just remove myself from your cabin.
Yeah, not a chance. Postman, sir, show him in irons. Then cast him overboard with those other of his lower class friends to dip the wide watery main in an open lifeboat. Oh, and thank you for the idea.
This is terrible.
Awful.
The waves are higher than 10 deck of buses.
And we're running out of water.
For days and days we drift, sailing out, our throats raw from lack of water, half conscious. Then strange things start to enter our minds, enter our consciousness.
Look. What?
A strange thing cleaving through the water towards us.
Oh, my God.
A huge, awesome creature like an elephant seal or a sperm whale.
You're right.
Mission go!
Hello, boys.
How did you survive?
I have a naturally buoyant personality.
We thought you drowned.
I threw myself overboard, but my religious principles prevented me from drowning. And God was right in his wisdom, because this morning I discover I am able to save the lives of the young men I love, especially one, by leading you to a place of safety.
Where's that?
I told you there.
And the great kind creature, her white, creamy, generous skin glowing in the water, draws our boat through the waves. And then, as night draws on...
What's that? It sounds like the cha-cha-cha
in the middle of the ocean.
Look, fishing boats.
Old-fashioned wooden boats with oil lamps held above them and out over the water.
They're all in a circle.
It's the Portuguese fishing fleet.
Why the music?
They're celebrating their annual festival of Our Lady of a Thousand Haddocks. Held far out to sea so no landsman can ever behold the secret mysteries and magic of their rituals.
What are all those people doing dancing?
They're on the boats.
No. It's amazing. They're starting to dance towards us across the water.
That's part of this magical world I'm drawing you into.
All the ocean has become completely calm. Glass-like.
They're all dressed up in vivid green and purple and red dresses with strange things like bananas, grapes and haddocks sticking from their heads.
Bestial, hairy sailors dressed up as Carmen Miranda lookalikes.
It's like Saturday night in Milton Keynes.
Ah, hey, little man, you want to come dance with me?
This is our Saram.
I'm from Vino.
And dancing always we dance. Come on.
Yeah, let's.
Come on, Chris, if you're going to lose your cherry, you might as well do it in the company of a whole lot of coconuts and bananas.
Yes, let's do it.
Yay! What a night. An incredible weaving, swaying fest of flesh and hair and Latin rhythms, maracas and rum bottles flying through the air, concertinas, pineapples, confessions of sudden inchoate love, bulging biceps and hairy bottoms, until suddenly...
Margaret, it's Dio!
Look at that!
How from the waters beyond us rises, arms outstretched, this great white female form, milk shooting from her breasts, sunlight from her vulva, water and fish cascading off her, towering above us in love and splendor and humanity.
It's the Great One, El Señor de los Multos Nombros Adox.
Hey,
is...
Yes, Miss Patricia Drumgool. But as we on Earth never see her, in all her spiritual beauty, fierce for truth, dogged, eternally trustworthy, a lion in defense of the weak, fountain of all love.
Ian. He's asleep.
Wake up, man.
Don't pass out.
What? Oh, where am I?
In a lifeboat, without food or water.
Oh, I just had the most fantastic dream.
What was it?
I can't remember.
The lifeboat drifts on and on, then hits rocks, sinks. His friends are swept away. Eventually, our hero is washed up on a beach. He drags himself from the sea, exhausted, his clothing torn to shreds. He passes out. The next thing he knows, he is coming round in a hospital bed.
You?
Yes, me. Police Chief, now President for Life, Connie Boone.
Don't send me back to jail.
I've no intention of doing that. Haven't you heard? We're at war.
War?
Yes, war. Terrible war. The machinations of evil men and women, Bernard Coates' arms sales, had finally led to all-out war.
You'll be joining my army. Report to the recruitment center by 1300 hours.
Ain't it amazing how all three of us survived?
Yeah, and should end up in the same regiment.
Field Marshal Boone's private regiment.
And see more service between the sheets than on the field.
But you smell gorgeous.
And you're not missing anything.
Oh. No?
I was on this patrol. We were ambushed, and I only survived by running away.
I was hiding under this haystack. The sergeant found me.
But what did you do?
Shot her.
God, this is a filthy war. Mud everywhere, bodies. No end to the fighting.
Anyone see Miss Drumgool?
No.
I miss her.
Yeah, her spontaneous compassion, gentleness. Those lovely cups of tea she used to brew.
I hope she's all right. I miss her too.
Come on, you soldiers! The tide of history is with women. We cannot be opposed. Our ideology is sounder. Look at the lovely uniforms we let you wear. The thrilling jackets and caps and boots. The knapsacks. And each of you has your own individual Union Jill to wave. Get out there, men, and kill more men.
We are men. She doesn't realise that. She doesn't care.
Matronising Carl. Sexual. First chance to get on deserting to the other side.
You can get shot for that.
We're going to get shot anyhow.
Confusion reigns everywhere. Shells, lands, cities and towns are torn apart. Everywhere the dead lie unburied. Mud spreads across a shell-holed landscape. Lorries and tanks and infantry churn through waterlogged wastelands.
Oh, this camp we're going to is no different from the previous one.
It's nearer the enemy. The chances of being killed are even greater.
What happened to that little corporal you were keen on?
She was drafted home on compassionate grounds. Her husband had dyed his hair and gone on the streets.
It always happens in wartime, and the women are away.
If only we could desert.
What's this coming towards us?
Just another lorry.
A Red Cross lorry.
It looks lighter, more cheerful. See, a tiny ray of sunlight spears through the clouds and plays on it.
Hi, boys!
Mrs.
Where are you going?
wherever you are. Want a ride?
Rather.
I never say no to a ride.
We're going to dessert.
That's handy. I've got to cross the enemy lines to sing to a man who's dying.
Is that what you do?
Yes. In the midst of all this carnage, I do a bit of nursing. But mainly I go and sing to the poor, terrified men who are about to go into the darkness. I hope my little bit of light will help guide them through the trials and tribulations of the world beyond.
We have enough trials and tribulations here.
Indeed.
But how did you survive?
I was rescued by a passing roll-on, roll-off ferry. It rolled over, so I had to swim the rest of the way. But it was worth it. Just for the sight of you, Ian McTurk. Will you kiss me?
I fancy another.
But do you love her?
Night. Barbed wire. Dugouts. The sound of shells landing. Flashes on the horizon. Miss Stromgul's lorry stops at a checkpoint.
All right.
An aged sentry comes over to check their documents.
All passes, please.
Excuse me, but weren't you the Lord Mayor of the town where we were born, responsible for all the woes that have since befallen us, who later became involved in a plot to assassinate the Prime Minister, your wife?
How kind of you to remember.
What are you doing as the guard? I thought you were a wanted man.
I was reconciled to my wife shortly after her death. It's always easier then. As a result, she withdrew all charges. I returned to a life of breathtaking crime on the stock market, but unfortunately met an even bigger crook than myself, Bernard Coates.
Bernard Coates.
With the result, I am now penniless and about to desert to the other side so I can fight against the armies of my enemy.
Benjamin.
We're going to desert as well.
What good fortune for me.
Hang on.
There's only one snag.
What's that?
The road we're on is heavily mined.
What?
Stop the lorry immediately.
No, go on. I want to escape.
No, reverse. I don't want to die.
Stop the lorry or we'll all be.
How'd you find this hospital?
It's a bit different from all the others I've been in.
How's that?
It's still got a roof and walls. Oh, that's better. I feel more at home. Incidentally, which side are we on?
The men's. But we're thinking of escaping.
We've got an ambulance outside.
Where are we going?
Somewhere. There's got to be somewhere better than this.
Our trusty threesome jump into the ambulance and make their getaway. But little do they know that not far off, at the Woman's Supreme Army headquarters, deadly plans are getting laid.
Girls, this is it. The mystery stroke that'll win the war. A sudden, devastating artillery bombardment on this single short stretch of highway here.
Her brutal nicotine-stained finger stabs at a roadway on the map. The very piece of roadway that...
At least you feel reassured in the men's army. There are so many more ambulances about.
Oh, don't talk to me about ambulances. It reminds me of poor Miss Stromgul. I wonder what's ever happened to her.
She was thrown an awful long way up in the air.
But we never saw her land.
Perhaps she became the angel. She always was.
Ian McTurk. Are those tears in your eyes?
No, never. These are no times for tears.
Well, at least we got away from the fighting.
Oh, me. I think I've lost my leg.
Oh, I've lost a hand. But don't worry, there's lots of ambulances about.
Here comes some stretcher bearers.
Don't worry, we'll get you on this stretcher.
Ah,
get them all into the ambulance.
Oh! Ow. Oh.
Okay, shut the doors.
Charge.
Soon have you in safety.
This time I'm definitely missing an arm and the odd kidney.
Some of my head is off. Everything beneath my belly button's gone AWOL. Don't worry. I can see hundreds and hundreds of ambulances coming over the hill to pick us up.
What a relief.
Here you are.
We're here to get you to safety. Get them in the ambulances, men.
Thank God.
No.
Oh. Everything's going to be okay.
I'm so lucky to be such an optimist.
There you are. Right, shut the doors, men. Let's be off.
Is that your foot lying by your leg? Or is it mine?
I don't think either of them are ours, actually.
It's probably mine. His snails need cutting. They probably will never need cutting again. Look, over there. The little toe my mum used to hang on to, going, wee, 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 wee. And there's my left ear.
Keep a grip on yourself.
I can't, there's nothing in me left to get a hold on. I've completely disintegrated as a person.
What are we gonna do?
What's that?
Oh, no. Thousands and thousands more ambulances. We must pull ourselves together. Escape. Or we're completely finished.
How?
Crawl away.
With what?
Ian, can I borrow your leg?
Yeah, give me a hand.
Ian.
Have we got the ghost for this?
Well, there's mine hanging on the old barbed wire.
Come on.
Thanks.
Chris, that hand of yours. Get it to walk over here.
Oi, stop giving me the elbow.
If someone put their knee in me groin, I could get my balls rolling.
Slowly, painfully, our hero's various body parts start to work downhill. But too late. The wheels of massed ambulances grind down our heroes, mash down appendixes, false teeth, livers, rib cages into eternal mud, eternal darkness. Nothingness. There is nothingness. Nothingness upon nothingness. Then, suddenly, light. There is light. And out of the light comes a voice.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Count. What are you doing?
Lifting your left eyeball into a suitable metallic receptacle while knitting your entire central nervous system into an artificial intelligence interface.
What? Where am I?
A hospital operating table. A hospital operating table with a deuce.
What the hell's going on?
Oh, well, it was you who gave me the idea. Remember when I was so jealous, beating at your door?
Yes. Hmm?
My insides were ripping themselves apart, boiling like boracic. And suddenly I thought, what an awful, inefficient economic unit the human body is. Instead of grinding itself to death with emotions, feelings, sensuality, why is it making a profit?
You are
a profit for me. I started to see this wonderful creation. Different functions, body parts, consumer durables, brought together. Hearts, stomachs, oh, lots and lots of stomachs. And satellite dishes, fast food inlets, swift sewage outlets. Yeah. Even specially prepared erogenous zones complete with multi-packed penises. Oh. And each tiny motion and trickle of this extraordinary organism monitored, metered, charged for, so that blood cannot flow, oxygen inhale, sperm spout, without I, myself, its creator, its controlling genius, charging for, making a profit from that action.
This is me you're talking about. What do I look like?
A colossal conglomerate of flesh, gristle, and vacuum cleaner parts.
Be more specific.
The Glastonbury Festival in a wheelchair.
A wheelchair?
Yes. Well, unfortunately, your design still has a bit of mobility downside.
Translate.
We haven't quite worked out your propulsion system. None of your 12 legs seem to reach the ground at the same time. Oh. But I brought up this job lot of old supermarket trolleys, fitted some old electric lawnmower engine.
Trolleys? Engines?
Yeah, no, just... Oh. Yeah,
You're not sending me out into the world like this, are you?
With your 17 arms, strange distribution of body hair, and complete collection of Jeffrey Archer novels, yes.
Bastard.
Well, one has to be cruel to be successful. Bye! Bastard!
And so our hero, or at least parts of our hero, jolts forth, wheels screeching, short-circuiting, into the world outside. As he waits, two other trolleys join him from the factory.
Jack?
Ian?
Chris? Ian?
I feel like a turkey having sex with a Dalek.
Thank God my old mum can't see me now.
This is our new world.
It is, no, isn't it? London's almost deserted.
No traffic.
Almost everyone seems to have died in the war.
But one person will still be alive.
Who?
The woman I love. Rowena.
Not her. All our disasters are down to the fact that you love that awful woman.
Look, over there. A rose garden. She must be there.
We'll be waiting out here for when she turns you down.
Again.
Moonlight. Dark leaves. Roses. A nightingale. Faintly blown by the wind comes the tinkle of sophisticated conversation. McTurk squeaks along beside Rowena. Beneath, a rose arbor.
I love you, Rowena. Despite my ghastly, indeed disgusting wounds sustained in the recent hostilities and the heinous medical experiments of your husband.
Ian!
Rowena?
I don't love you. I never have loved you. I just once fancied a quick piece of working class rough.
Bitch.
It's time I was going. It's getting cold.
No.
Let go. Let go, you freak.
With 17 hands and an improbable array of penises, I have you at my mercy, Rowena Torrance. I can do with you what I will. But that's not my purpose.
What is?
I'm going to open you up.
Pardon?
I wish to find out exactly what's inside you.
What's that you're waving above your head?
Yeah, I come complete with my own national do-it-yourself and stop wasting the taxpayers' money surgery kit. This is a very large and, lethally sharp scalpel-cum electric drill mixed with a micro-probe and camera. I'm going inside you.
No! No!
Yes, God, you are.
What a private education does for you.
Hard as steel.
My mother would be proud.
Wait a minute, you're opening.
I don't want you looking in there. No, please.
Hey, here we go.
Oh, my God.
Don't!
There's nothing in here. You're completely empty.
I'm not. I'm the most advanced woman in the world.
Vast spaces of absolutely nothing.
Shut up!
I'm being along with nothing, an illusion, a non-entity.
How dare you! Close me up immediately.
Okay.
I'm the most advanced woman in the world. I'll be a Channel 5 newscaster, a Damien Hirst exhibit, a new Labour frontbencher on just about anything.
I'm going.
You'll never be rid of me. I'll be on endless arts programmes with Melvin Bragg, sign pompous letters to The Guardian with Sir David Hare and Sir Ian McEwan.
Sorry, Saz. Back on the street.
Right.
Just like when we were kids. Back home in the town where we were born.
I've made a lot of mistakes in my life.
What's the biggest?
I don't want to say.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, seeking words of wisdom.
Who's singing that song? It always sounds familiar.
It's
Let it be.
It's Patricia
Trong. Let it be. Let it be. Seeking words of wisdom.
Let she sings be. Beautifully. Brings lumps to my bladder.
I am the walrus.
Bad. You what?
I suddenly realise what I've been all my life. I am he, as you are me, as we are all together.
Boys! How are you? Ian McTurk, how are you?
I'm fine.
What are you doing?
There's always so much to be done on this earth. I'm setting off to try to do it.
Patricia Drumgool, let the two of us get married and drench the world in our children.
No.
What?
No, I will not marry you. Why should I marry you when there are so many human souls around?
That's right. I was hoping to marry you.
Shut up, Chris, or I'll short-circuit you, Charlie.
I had expectations, too.
I love you, Ian McTurk. More than all the galaxies, stars, and the vast eternities of space. But now bits of you are spread everywhere.
She's right. Your bloody ear's growing out of my right elbow.
So, in loving everyone with my great white milky body and soul, I love only you. And in loving only you with my warm, sweet lips and great, generous vagina, I love everyone. God is infinite, and so are we. He can never have enough of our loving. We can never have enough of his. I'll marry all three of you.
It'll never be allowed.
You'd be surprised. The Supreme Leader.
Who? Connie Boone?
She's just decreed that women can have as many husbands as they like. I'll marry you all.
Oh, good, a wedding. And what a wedding. There is a most fashionable congregation. Father Brody stands at the altar with his prayer book open. A rustle of anticipation as the great doors swing open. And into the church, led by the ex-mayor and broken-down tobacconist of the town where all were born, comes the bride, Miss Drumgool, radiant. She arrives at the altar, turns and gives all three bridegrooms a wondrous smile.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here in the sight of God and in the face of this congregation to join together these men and this woman in holy matrimony. Ian, John, Christopher, wilt thou have this woman to thy wedded wife?
We will.
We will.
Patricia, wilt thou have these men to thy wedded husbands?
I will. I will. I will. Where are we going?
To the honeymoon, you mean?
Yes.
We've booked the Albert Hall.
How wonderful.
Here we are now. It's all been done up specially.
Great.
Look at that.
The whole of the central area is now a huge, enormous bed. Vast enough for all of us with all our multiple organs and appliances to bounce up and down on. To conjoin and conjugate and copulate with you in our center.
Now we know how many holes it takes to fill the Albert Hall.
At last, our reunion.
I'll be in the center.
You'll be in the center.
Oh, bliss. Oh, joy.
Bed springs eternal.
And so at last, our heroes and heroine are reconciled, rejoined, rejoiced in many and fascinating ways and angles and imaginations. Huge rhythms and energies are unleashed and shudder across the bed. Oceans and Niagara Falls of passion and love and fulfillment. And in the midst, triumphant, rising above the appliances and tubing and groping and hairiness, and then slipping back in like a dolphin, a mackerel, is Our Lady of the Sorrows, Our Lady of Joy, Our Lady of Old Age, Our Lady of Youth, squealing and giggling and roaring with lust and pleasure and fulfillment.
Oh, you are filled full.
I'll never be full of your love, Ian McTurk. Love on! Love on!
Joe Orton's Up Against It was adapted for radio by John Fletcher. The cast, in order of appearance, was Kenneth Cranham as the mayor, Joseph Fiennes as Christopher Lowe, Leo McKern as the narrator, Louise Lombard as Rowena Torrance. Douglas Hodge played Ian McTurk, Jacinta Mokaki played Patricia Drumgool, and Mark Lambert was Father Brody. Sylvia Sims played Connie Boone, and David Calder was Bernard Coates. Prunella Scales played the Prime Minister, and Damon Albarn was Jack Ramsey. Other roles were played by Alan Mitchell, Edward Holston, and Mark Webb. And special thanks to Sir John Gielgud and Joe Dowling. Up Against It was directed by John Adams and was an Armada production for BBC Radio 3.